In fact, let's go to our first broadcast partner. And, you know, it's almost when I come on the air and talk with Ken Timmerman, I have to ask him, what part of the world are you in? So let me ask that. Ken, what part of the world are you in right now?
Well, we have been spending Christmas time in Sweden with my wife's family, Jimmy, and thank you for asking. It's been a great pleasure and a blessing to be there with our first grandchild and another one on the way.
Oh, isn't that great? The grandbabies are always a very important part of Christmas. I'm glad you're able to have the time with them. Well, let's look back at 2012. A lot of news coming out of all across the world, and I've got a litany of items that I want to talk with you about. We'll not maybe talk about every geopolitical activity. We have other broadcast partners that may cover some of the stories. I have to believe, however, the number one story in America, and it relates to the rest of the world as well, was the Obama re-election. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, clearly Obama surprised most of the pundits. He surprised the Republican analysts and the pollsters. Everyone believed that he was headed to defeat in November because of the economy and because he had no plan to get the economy out of the downturn where we already have been for the past 4 years. But he pulled off this victory, whether it was from blue voting machines or just by extraordinary good luck or very hard work in getting voters out. I think what it means for America is that we are headed for a period of decline as we become more like socialist Europe, where government becomes bigger and the individual becomes smaller.
I have to look at what I think is the second most important story, his failure to deal with the problems in the Middle East, i.e. Iran, the Palestinians, and Afghanistan. Give us a thought about his not being able to step up to the plate properly and take care of the situation.
Well, I think what we've seen so far with Obama, and we will see more of it in 2013, is a diminished American role in the world. Obama has prided himself in ending two wars, in ending the war in Iraq and putting America onto the path of ending the war in Afghanistan. But what that means is that essentially those two wars have been wasted. The objectives of those wars have been lost, and America is headed to a diminished role in both countries and throughout the Middle East. In Iraq, we have essentially, through our retreat under the Obama administration, turned that country over to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Al-Maliki, the prime minister, is, by all accounts, an Iranian liege. I don't want to say a puppet, but he is a liege. He owes them obedience, and he looks to them always before he makes decisions. And he's headed towards a civil war with the Kurdish population in his own country. In Afghanistan, it certainly looks as if the Obama administration is preparing for a deal with the Taliban. And to bring the Taliban into a power-sharing agreement with the Kabul government, I believe, will essentially send the message to the families of those American troops who died in that war that they died in vain.
Ken, Dennis Ross, who is the envoy for the United States to the Middle East, he made a statement that the Obama administration is going to deal with Iran. Do you think that's a possibility, truth, or what?
Well, I think what they are planning to do, and I'm very concerned about this, is to forge a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran where they will lift U.S. sanctions and international sanctions on the Iranian regime in exchange for a vaguely worded promise that the Iranians will cease the enrichment of uranium, in other words, for a nuclear weapons program. I don't believe that the Iranians will keep that promise for an instant, but they will try to find some window dressing on it to make it appear as if they will. For example, they may say, well, we're going to send our lightly enriched uranium to Russia or to Turkey for further enrichment. This is a plan that's been in the works for some time. But I don't think that it will alleviate the major problem that we have, which is secret enrichment plants, secret stockpiles of uranium that the Iranians are able to get inside their own country from their own undeclared mineral resources, their undeclared uranium mines and milling plants. So I'm afraid that the Obama administration is going to cut a deal that will appear to be a peace in our time, kind of appeasement deal with the Iranian regime that will secretly allow them to continue their nuclear weapons research.
Let me talk to you about Benghazi Gate. Looks like the White House is trying to just hold steady, hide there in the White House and see if the Benghazi Gate will go away, actually. Four of U.S. citizens, one of them an ambassador, killed. What about Benghazi Gate?
You really wonder when the American media, the left-wing media in the United States, will know shame. They seem to have no shame whatsoever. They have failed to report this story. They have failed to do their job as the watchdog, the independent watchdog of the powerful in Washington, and to ask the questions, you know, when did the Obama administration know that the consulate, that our facilities in Benghazi were under attack, and what did they do about it? We know, and you and I have talked about this on this program during 2012, Jimmy, that there was live video feeds coming from at least one Predator drone over the Benghazi complex. As the attack by the Islamic radicals was going on, there was live video footage coming into the Pentagon and possibly into the White House. Who was watching that footage? When did they see it? And what did they decide as a result? Did they actually make a conscious decision not to send in reinforcements, to bail those people out, to rescue those people? We don't have answers to those questions, and it's astonishing to me that the American media has not been asking them.
Yes, it's a shame they are not, and there are many questions, as you've talked about. Earlier on in this conversation, Ken, you talked about the economic problems in the United States, but let me just take that one step further. Are those economic problems causing the United States trouble as it relates to security for our nation?
Well, they will once the defense sequester takes effect in the beginning of January, and we will be reducing our defense expenditures by approximately $100 billion a year, and that's in addition to $100 billion a year in cuts that have already been put in place more or less voluntarily by the Department of Defense. I've gone through these numbers in great detail when I was running for Congress this past year. If you project them outwards, using, again, the Pentagon's own estimates, by the year 2020, the United States will be spending less on our defense than Communist China will be spending on their defense. In other words, they will overtake us as the largest military in the world, spending the most money on their military research, military equipment, military procurement. And that, I think, is a very dangerous turn of events.
About a minute, Ken. Talk to me about the possible intervention by the United States into the Syrian civil war.
I will say I have been so far favorably impressed at the reticence of the U.S. administration, both Hillary Clinton and Obama, of getting too deeply involved. Because up until now, you've had Islamist radicals who have threatened to take over the Syrian opposition. And so you have a dictator in Assad who's supported by the Iranian regime, and then the Sunni Muslim al-Qaeda-supported radicals on the other side. So the U.S. has been standing back a little bit and trying to help forge an alliance that would exclude those Islamic radicals. That seems to be taking shape. I don't see U.S. military intervention in Syria with this one caveat. If the Syrian regime does assemble their chemical weapons, then I think all bets are off, and I think the Americans, the Jordanians, and the Israelis will get involved to keep those weapons from being deployed.
Well, in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu met with King Abdullah of Jordan, the Prime Minister from Israel, of course, discussing the chemical weapons of mass destruction there in Syria. All of these are ongoing stories, and we're going to continue to focus every time we get a chance to have Ken Timmerman behind these microphones. We'll talk about these issues in the coming year, 2013. Ken, thank you so very much. I know it was a tough task, but even during your time of campaigning for United States Congress, you joined us. You gave us great insight. Thank you so much, and do have a wonderful time with your grandbabies there in Sweden. And may I wish to you from us here at Prophecy Today a blessed, happy new year.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. It's really a treat to be on the show with you. I love your insights, and I love being able to discuss these issues with you. God bless you in 2013.